thanks for tuning into the station that plays your kind of music. From yesterday and today, this is your Gosport Hospital Radio, bringing Gosport closer to you. Bringing Gosport closer to you.
The Community Show with
Bob Whitbread on Gosport Hospital Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our community show. Today it's 13th of October, it's a Thursday, and as usual we've got some guests in here today from representing one of the wonderful charities we have in the Gosport area. He's going to be speaking to me, and his name's Kevin Casey. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Bob, and thank you for inviting me today.
All right, we'll chat a bit more, but I'll introduce you later on to all bits and pieces. But if you want to get hold of us, if you want to chat to Kevin, he's available in the studio now, and you can ring us up on 07443 620 861. I'll say that again, 07443 620 861. He's sitting here waiting for the questions about the diving museum. All those nice technical questions you want to ask him about gas bottles and everything else, you know, he's there.
Not too technical, please.
And then meanwhile, we'll have I think is a very appropriate bit of music, and we'll get back to you after this track.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life. In the land of submarines, so we sailed on to the sun till we found a sea of green, and we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine.
We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
Submarine, yellow submarine, we all as all we need. Sky of blue and sea of green in our yellow submarine.
Submarine. Does that take you back a bit, Kevin?
I have been in a couple when I was out in the Caribbean.
Yeah. What, yellow ones?
It was yellow, I think, if I remember, but not for work.
All right, then. Well, as I said, we got Kevin Casey with us. He's the museum director, which is the Diving Museum of the Historical Diving Society, and it's based down at No. 2 Gun Batteries down in Stokes Bay. You've all seen it. You've seen these diving gear and all stand out the front there, plus all do those diving bells, just a matter of interest, near the bayside cabin,
it's all original equipment.
Right, we're going to ask you now a bit of your background, because we got a few questions to ask, haven't we, listeners? So if you want to bring up, just give us a question on 0744 360 861. Kevin's here, so
I know time's precious.
No, it's all yours now, Kevin.
I will water it down a bit, but I was born in Melbourne, Australia, grew up there, and my family's still there. Went off to see the world, landed in the UK, eventually was broken, started working in the North Sea, and ended up 40 years, become a saturation diver, dived right up till I retired at 66. And loved it. Back in 1990, the Historical Diving Society started. I've always been interested in history, always been interested in collecting things. And when they started up in the end of 90 or start of 91, I joined them. Couldn't really do much as far as joining their committee due to working away so much around the world. But around 2008, when they were looking for a diving museum, I come up with a few ideas and joined the board, and I've been on it since, and have opened up a Pandora's box, as they say.
So how long has the actual museum, that since you've been running it, been as a museum?
What it was, a society were gaining collections or items for a collection and realised they needed a home for them. They were looking at different places. Now, just to give you an idea of the Historical Diving Society, it was the first in the world. There's 14 around the world, all based on us, even one in Russia, US, Australia. And we produced publications, sent them all around the world, and now we've got members all around the world. But in 2009, we were looking for a home. And my wife and I walked along Stokes Bay for many years with our two dogs, and I used to look at Number 2 Battery. And when I found out they were looking for a home for the collection, I thought, I know a few councillors. I'm going to approach them and see. All the time I've lived in Gosport since 84, it's basically been closed. And what a waste of a great building. So I approached them. Council, oh, no, it wouldn't be suitable. It wouldn't be this, it wouldn't be that. They tried to show. But after 12 months, in 2010, we put a plan together. They did think we had the ability, and they gave us a tenancy at lease. And we got the keys. Late 2010, we started working, cleaning it up. It was in a terrible mess. We've got the whole building, but can only use one-third of it due to its damp conditions. And we opened up to the public in April 2011, and we've been open every year except for the pandemic in 2020, and things have changed a lot since we first opened.
Well, yeah, I think everyone who goes down Stokes Bay, they can't really miss it now. They go down there, see all the equipment outside, and the door, the gates open and everything else, and it seems to be going very well. You know, you got interest in the old battery, and you set up. Do you have many people who have taken an interest with you, help run it now with you?
We have a lot of volunteers, and we're starting to get grants, and the future's starting to look rosy. We've got more coming on board, but a lot of volunteers don't. They always think you're going to be a volunteer, you're going to stand there and show the public collection. No, We have taken on a, we have now, last year, signed a 99-year lease of the building, which sounds fantastic, but the caveat with that is we take over the fabric of the building. So we have a green team. As you might notice now, it all looks very nice up top, all the gross cut and that. So we have a green team that looks after that. And by pure chance, there's one thing that's not mentioned in any of the news articles. We could not store any of our library reserve collection in number 2 Battery purely because of its condition. And if you know the road out of Elverstoke Village going up the avenue, mm-hmm. and there's a school up there, Elverstoke Junior, there's a concrete building there. We found out what it was. It was an air raid warden's bunker, and was owned by Hampshire County Council. So we approached them, and they said, yeah, you could use it. The houses went in there. That was in a mess. We cleaned it up. And because Gosport Borough Council's conservation officer had put had got a grade 2 listed, Hampshire couldn't pull it down. They didn't know what to do with it. Learning what we were like, proper registered charity, a CIO, and we were doing all the right things, they've allowed us to take on the freehold. So we have the freehold there. So what's really good, we have an estates manager. It's all volunteer, right up to me. There's nobody paid. We have an estates manager that looks after the 2 buildings, ex-Royal Engineer, and he administers the green team. We have all sorts of trades, and we have ladies that just want to work front of shop. So we have lots of things that volunteers could do that don't have to just show people around.
Right, well, it's interesting to listen how it all started. We'll chat a bit more. Let's give a bit more music to lighten it up a bit. Mm-hmm. But it's very keen to hear that you are attracting a lot of volunteers, which...
We need more, naturally. Everybody
it's
does.
It's very supportive when you know that what you're doing is being appreciated by getting volunteers to help you out. We'll have a bit more music, and I think you'll have a bit of Elvis Presley. I think you'll know what this is about.
Let's go on a moonlight swim, far away from the crowd, all alone upon the beach. Our lips and our arms close within each other's reach. We'll be on a moonlight swim.
wishing for.
Love in a peaceful world.
Yeah.
Next year, 2023, Gosport Hospital Radio will be celebrating 30 years of hospital broadcasting in the Gosport area. Right, well, you're back into live, Bob. And once again, we got, just to remind you, we've got Kevin Casey from, he's the museum director from the Diving Museum at Stokes Bay. You've all seen it down there. And whilst the record's been playing on, he's telling me loads and loads of things. All this information he's given me about what made him start, what made him get involved, and where he is now, really, as regards the museum. But I wanted to concentrate a bit more on sort of, we were saying while the music was on, you know, what got you the... And it's all very well thinking you want to start up a museum, but it's not quite that simple.
No. You've got your collection, you've got your idea... Lucky enough, you've got your building, so you set it up. And then all of a sudden, you start finding out all the other things that a museum, that is required of a museum. And one of the most important things, if you want to go for fundraising, is being an accredited museum. Accreditation, which is run by Arts Council England, it's a standard that's copied around the world, and it's set up for different sizes of museum. We're in the bottom size, but it's very rigorous. It's a standard to operate at. And if you need that to go for funding, by becoming accredited, we eventually achieved that in 2019. We now, because of that, we've become affiliated with the National Museum of the Royal Navy. And we have taken three items on loan from the Science Museum. We've taken items on loan from the National Museum, the Royal Navy, and then some of their items that are not central to their collection and to do with diving, they've passed them over to us because of the standard we work at. And as I said, you need to be accredited for fundraising. That's or show a standard that when you apply for the grant that you're operating in a standard. Especially more so when you go to for larger funding. There's an organisation that I'm extremely supportive of, course, the South East Museums Development. It's funded by Arts Council, and they're a group. It's for Berkshire, Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, and they support museums with free workshops and small grants. And I'm now, because I've spent so much time working with them, I'm actually on their advisory panel because they want, in their advisory panel, I want a cross-section of museums from a national down to an all-volunteer. So they're, and the advisory panel gives as it says, gives them advice on how they can work with, how they can help the museum sector within our area. And it's good because the other thing that's important to a museum is networking. Do not think, you know, if you stay in your own little bubble, you think you're doing great. What you must do is mix all other museums. Mm. And that goes from, you know, we've had dealing, we've been up to Technical Volunteers, to Jane Austen, over to Isle of Wight, to Dinosaur Isle, to the Steam Railroad, Tangmere, which is an all-volunteer aviation museum. Brilliant.
Yeah. So these are these sort of things that you're talking about, which obviously is very valuable for any form of museum. These are things that have grown on you since you've started. You there's no sort of course for this.
You've got No,
you have to go out there and find it yourself.
Every one of us in that museum didn't know what we were letting ourselves into. And you get, as we discussed earlier on, you get to the point now, I can't stop at the moment because we've got so much to achieve that when I retire from them, I'm handing over to the next we're handing over to the next generation something that will survive. You've got to be very careful when you have a group of people who have a dream, but the longevity is the most, while they're all involved, that's really, really good. But what happens next? So you've got to have this forward planning, succession planning, and that's very, very critical now, and that's what we're trying to do.
So you're going to be permanently looking ahead all the time?
Oh, well, we've taken a 99-year lease of the building.
That's, will you be around then, do you think?
Well, I'd love to see what it was like in 99 years. But, no, I don't think I'll be there.
All right, nice. We're going to have things that Bobby Darin tells us quite a lot about.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath, long about a Saturday night. Yeah. Rubbed up, just relaxing in the tub, thinking everything was all right. Well, I stepped out the tub, put my feet on the floor, I wrapped the towel around me and I opened the door. And in a splish, splash, I jumped back in the bath. Well, how was I to know there was a party going on? There was a splishing and a splash, reeling with the feeling, moving and a grooving, rocking and a rolling. Bing bang, I saw the whole gang dancing on my living room rug. Yeah, flip flop, they was doing the bop. All the teens had to dance in bug. There was Lollipop with a Peggy Sue. But the golly, Miss Molly was even there too. Well, a splish splash, I forgot about the bath. I went and put my dancing shoes on. Yeah, I was a rolling and a stroll, feeling with the feeling, moving and a grooving, splishing and a splashing.
Coast, one call could save lives.
Coast Guard.
In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Have you heard about the community show here on Gosport Hospital Radio? It's an amazing opportunity for you as a local group or charity to voice what you do on this very radio station. Perhaps you're looking for a few more members, or just feel passionate about what you do. If you'd like to take part in future community shows, please simply give us a call now on 02392 601 600 or email the details to ghrstudio@icloud.com.
For
I've spent all me money on whiskey and beer. But now I'm returning with gold in great store. And I never will play the Wild Rover no more. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I play the Wild Rover. No, never, no more. I went into an alehouse I used to frequent, and I told the landlady me money was spent. I asked her for credit, she answered me nay. Such customers yours I can get any day. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I play the Wild Rover. No, never, no more. Then I pulled from my pocket 5 shillings so bright, and the landlady's eyes opened wide with delight. I'd beer, then I'd whiskey and wines of the best. I'm glad she said, sir, you just laughed at me jest. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I play the Wild Rover. No, never, no more. I'll go home to my parents, confess what I've done, and I'll ask them to pardon their prodigal son. And when they have done so, as they've done before, then I never will play the Wild Rover no more. And it's no, nay, never. No, nay, never, no more will I play. Never, no more.
Right, well, there we are. We have some lovely stuff. And while we've been sitting here listening to this lovely music, Kevin has been sort of giving me a lot more highlights on things he's been talking about. And first of all, you had Wishing Well by Free. And that came out in, where are we now? Wishing Well, that came out in 1962. Not that long ago for you and me, is it?
No.
And we had Wishing Well, yeah, we've had that. We had Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath by Bobby Darin. Now, that one came out in 1958. And when he wrote that, he wrote it as a dare. Yeah. Someone said to him, you know, and he was writing, he says, well, they was having bets with each other. He said, but you can't write about songs. And he said, well, give me something and I'll write about it. He said, well, I've had a bath. And that's Splish Splash came out to be one of his biggest hits, actually. And that was way back all those years ago. And then you had The Wild Rovers by The Spinners. And I hope you didn't mind on that one, Kevin, because we always associate that song with Australians. That particular one was done by The Spinners. And there's not The Spinners from America. It's not the Detroit Spinners. That was The Spinners, the folk song group. And they did that in 1992, and that was part of their LP. And they've had some UK album charts. There was big things in the 80s and 90s. And so we'll have some music in a minute. We'll get back to Kevin because he's been telling us some interesting things here. And you've been telling me about how you've sort of tried to turn it into a miniature community area involving lots of different generations of people and all sorts of genres and all sorts of things. What would you say is your biggest... What would you say the sort of attraction you are getting to? What sort of generation gap are you getting attraction to?
Attracting to... I suppose for the people who have no background on diving, it's a lot of grandparents when their grandchildren, you know, visit, and the grandchildren love it. Children love it. We've got a lot of little games or competitions for them to play. We cater for them. But everybody that walks by, what's good? The location's good. So people visiting the bay, especially if they're not from Gosport, they think, oh, it's not that expensive to go. Let's go and have a look. But you're talking about community engagement. You might have seen in the paper this year, we've been very lucky with some grants. But these days, for you to get a grant, the key thing is community engagement. And by that, I mean that, all right, we've got what the lottery consider a nationally important collection. We're an interesting museum, but no, they will fund, they want to see how you can use the building and the collection to better the community. That's the aim. There, you're being given public money to be used for the public, not just for your whim that you want to collect your favourite thing. And so now, this grant we've just got from the lottery is purely for consultants. And we'll be working, when we wrote up the application, we went to organisations like GVA, Motivate, St Vincent's, six different organisations, a veteran organisation, and we asked them how they would like to work with us for the people that they're trying to support with inside the community they cover. And so now this grant will further involve these organisations, find out how we can work with the community. So if we get the next grant, it will help us set up the museum so it's working for the community. It should be a community museum, not, you know, based on diving, but that subject needs to be used to better the community. Employment, the local economy, and the betterment for the local people. And as we know, there's a lot of people that have dropped out of, you know, all communities have the side where children have dropped out of school, they don't like it, things have gone wrong. So we want to, if they're interested in heritage, to give them a chance to see if it's a subject they like and they could, you know, find something. Everybody flourishes when they find a subject that they like.
Right, well, I think we can tell from your enthusiasm, you're 150% behind exactly the way the museum's going.
I want to better it for Gosport. I want it to become an integral part of
the tourist attraction down this area.
Yeah, and, you know, that the community behind.
Right, well, I've got bits and pieces. You was in the press lately with grants that you've got, which is good news. And I'm looking at the picture now. You've got all diving facilities. And you've also emphasised a lot of those are sort of on loan to you.
Yeah.
Which is remarkable, really, because a lot of museums are very sort of loath to lend things out, unless it's a very reputable museum, which is obviously they think you and you are.
Well, the Science Museum doesn't loan out things that are worth money willy-nilly. It's an interesting thing for a museum to borrow an item from another museum, if it's worth a lot of money, they couldn't go and get insurance. They couldn't cover the insurance. So there's a thing that the government does. The government wants museums to share, and it's called Government Indemnity Scheme. And that means that the government, all you have to cover, if my memory's correct, £300 and 10%, or is it 1%, might be 1%, of the value of the item. The government will cover the rest. But the museum must be set up in a way, it won't be like a museum in a garden shed, you must have certain standards. But because the science museums are national, that's a whole different ball game. You have to fill in UKRG forms, and you'll have one for the display case, one for the building, and one for the security. So for us to get those loans, from the Science Museum, we had to get a grant. We've got a level 3 intruder alarm system. We've got a smoke alarm system. We are monitored by a monitoring station 24/7. And that upsets my wife when I get a call if one of the alarms has gone off at 2 o'clock in the morning. She's not a happy bunny. And we have 24/7 CCTV, which is recording.
Right. Well, That's good. Now, I was going to ask you a more pertinent question, actually. We were talking about this slightly earlier on, is that at the end of the day, you also rely on the public going in to see your exhibits and everything else. What sort of times is the museum open? Is it regular?
We're open on weekends and public holidays from 11 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, from April, start of April, to the end of October.
That's on your website?
It is on the website. Everything's on the website, and you can contact us if you want any information, if you want to be a volunteer, if you just want to ask a question. Quite happy for people to go on to either the Historical Diving Society website or the Dive Museum website. But because of these two grants we got earlier in the year, both capital project grants, one of our sad things is it's awkward for disabled people or people with a disability to get into the museum because there's a set of stairs. Inside's lower than the outside. One of them now was based on access. We'll be getting a platform lift. We'll be getting a disabled ramp up to the museum. Also a disabled ramp over an obstacle inside the museum. We'll be getting a door. Something you'd probably realise that bunker was Gosford Borough Council's nuclear bunker in the Cold War.
That's
so
right.
all the doors and brick, all the windows were bricked up, so we're going to open up one of the doors at the back and allow people to go right through the whole building.
Right. Yeah. Well, you've been talking some lovely stuff. Let's have a bit more music.
Okay.
You're moving on, and you're doing great stuff. I'll give yourself a break now, all right?
Thank you.
We'll have a bit more of the Beatles. Well, there we are. It's a short version. And that was Carry the Weight by the Beatles, done in Abbey Road. And that one came out in, oh, dear me, when did that one come? Oh, 1969. And it came from the album of Abbey Road, written by Paul McCartney. That's a surprise, isn't it? All right, well, we're back now. We've got Kevin Casey from the Dive Museum. And he's been telling us all sorts of bits of information about what he's doing, and he was talking about just now about the opening times in the museum, and also I suppose you must do some I know you charge, but I think you must do some sort of
special reductions
for disabled people, that sort of stuff.
For children and seniors are cheaper, under fives are free, but then during Heritage Open Days we open for 2 days and Heritage Open Days for free each year, so people that I don't find it's an expensive museum to visit, but that's easy for me to say. For some people, it could be classed expensive. So if they come during Heritage Open Days,
that sounds very reasonable to me.
But we also have schools come through. We're very close to Bay House, so at times they come in because it's not just the collection in there. It's also the history of the building. It's Grade 2 star. It's on the at-risk register. And it's got an interesting history. You know, it was part of the Stokes Bay lines. It was one area where the when Lord Palmerston put the Palmerston's Folly around the around Portsmouth Harbour to protect the dockyard, the one area that any invading force could land was on Stokes Bay. So they diverted the Elver River, which still today comes out behind Number 2 Battery. They built 5-gun batteries and a moat system, and it was called the Stokes Bay Lines.
And I don't think people realise just how historical that little corner is.
Oh, it's extremely historical.
I think I emphasised this at a meeting I went to a week or so ago, that that whole area, and I know most people know it, that it was one of the big areas for D-Day.
They
built a lot of the large things to take
the Mulberry Harbours.
The Mulberry Harbours and all that sort of thing went over there. And I think we had most of the Canadians based over that side. We had the Americans were on the Portsmouth side, but we had a lot of the English and the Canadians who left there, and possibly it was the last time they ever saw UK.
And just opposite the Diving Museum, where the, I don't think I'm using the right term, the mobile homes are, hidden in the trees there was all the amphibious tanks. All the amphibious tanks were based here in Gosport. Once they'd been, you know, they were tested up in Suffolk somewhere, then brought down here, and they went out and were taken across to Osborne Bay and did landings in Osborne Bay and then come back here. And this is where all the amphibious tanks left from. So, yeah, the history here and the history of Number 2 Battery is quite incredible, because I think I mentioned before, I just started to mention, it was Gosport Borough Council's nuclear bunker in the Cold War
right.
in 1980 to 82 sort of thing. Mm. And it all the windows were taken out, all the doors were taken out, all bricked up, it was totally sealed. There was one door in and one spare door further along. They were nuclear blast doors, and there's air filters in there. The air filters are still there today. We've kept them because it's part of history. So the building has a very checkered history, and now it's going to hopefully be a diving museum for the next 100 years.
The other thing about it is that some people may not like the building there, but unfortunately it's there for forever because it is part of the history of this area.
Oh, it is.
And it's listed, that I understand, and so it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's Grade 2 star
so
on the
nice,
Atlas Register.
It's nice to see, and I suppose some people appreciate that the building is actually being utilised, it's being used, and in your hands seems to be in a very...
Yeah, because, I mean, it's only got electricity and one drain, no running water, no gasoline. It's got a limited... The layout limits what it can be used for. So I think it's a win-win here. The building's perfect. It gives an ambience to the museum. You look at the old diving equipment. It's in these vaulted rooms and everything. So it gives an atmosphere. And so it's a win-win for us, a building and a great location, but it's a win-win for Gosport because that building sat there with no future and it was decaying. Mm. And now the council is happy because we've taken a burden off them. They don't have to try and pay to save it. We're raising the funds to save it, so they win there. And we're put an attraction. Gosport never realised the history. Diving has been part of Gosport's history since 1829. And we...
Well, the first submarine.
No, diving.
Holland 1, wasn't it?
No, that was around the start of the 20th century. No. You had two disasters out here. You had the Mary Rose and you had the Royal George. Mm. Royal George was the biggest loss of life in UK waters and still is today. Over 900 people perished on it. But when John and Charles Dean invented the diving helmet, they first invented and patented a smoke helmet in 1823. They then... It wasn't successful, wasn't a commercial success. So what else can we use it for? Well, we could dive in some wrecks. So in 1828, they developed that prototype helmet into a diving helmet. In 1829, they came down here to Gosport, and then they dived around the back of the Isle of Wight on, I can't remember the name of the boat, so, and they proved the helmet worked. John Dean moved here and lived here for 10 years and dived. Now, he used to get a mariner that I think, Henry Abbott, that I think used to own the Castle Hut pub, and he bought the first workable diving set off John Dean in the early 1830s, and that was the first person in the world to buy a commercial diamond. And John Dean was out of Gosport. Fishermen came to Henry Arbunet and said, our nets are getting caught on something. This is early 1830s. He went out and looked and just saw a bit of wood coming out of the seabed. He just came back and thought nothing of it. John Dean returned from where he was and got told the story and said, I'll go and have a look. And he went out and had a look. He dived down and he found a cannon sticking out of the seabed. He found a Mary Rose. Mm. So it was found, a lot of things salvaged off it, and then it was lost again until it was found 40 years ago today.
Well, you're really sort of colouring more three-dimensional the diving situation. It's not just a case of going under the water in a suit. And I mean, we're nowadays, a lot of our North Sea facilities up there rely on divers to go down and do all the maintenance period. I will point out, though, we are coming up to 10 minutes left. In actual fact, we've got less than 10 minutes. We're coming up to just under 10 minutes. And I'll ask Kevin now if he's going to give us any contact numbers or addresses or anything like that that he'd like people to get hold of.
Well,
or where they can find you on.
Well, you know where you can find us if you want to see us face to face. But really, I think the best introduction is to go on our website. Or when you have a Facebook, I would go on the website, and the website you can contact us. I mean, I have an email address, which is museums, that's with an S on it, at thehdshds.com.
Right.
Yeah. So you can always contact me.
And your website is www.divingmuseum.co.uk?
Correct.
Right. So if you want to, as Kevin said, you know, go down there when it's open during the day, have a chat with them.
Yeah, I mean, we need volunteers, and being a volunteer doesn't mean you've got to walk around, especially without, you know, if you don't have a diving background, you don't have to walk around and try and explain to people the exhibits. There's lots of other jobs, and if these grants we're getting develop, we will need people with all sorts of skills to help us survive. Because we're maintaining two buildings now, and so it takes a variety of skills and good teamwork.
Do you have some form of newsletter goes out occasionally, or?
Yes, if you wanted to, if you go on the website, there's blogs on there, but all the volunteers get a thing we called a rope signal. Anybody can go on the Historical Diving Society, and I think probably on the museum website, and you can get a little thing called rope signal, which tells you what's going on. But best to go on the website and have a look, because then you can see what suits you and what you want from it.
Yeah. Right, well, we're going to have a wee bit more music, and I think we've run out of time for anyone to ring up. But I'm sure you can listen to our program again. It will be downloaded onto our I shouldn't say downloaded, actually, because it's not downloaded. It's recorded onto our website. It's put on there as a listen again. So if anyone wants to open up the website, go to listen again, and you'll find Kevin's details on there, plus the program. This program will be on there. Not straight away. It takes a couple of days to do it, but it will be on there.
I mean, we host organisations like the U3A, right down to infant schools, all different organisations. If they want a different place to visit, that's out of sight of our normal hours. We will arrange visits.
Right, well, I've got a record that's going to play for you. I don't know whether divers have this sort of problem, but this one is called The Octopus's Garden. Yeah.
Don't get told my time. Oh, keep my heart enough.
you are. You listen to Bob Whitbread's community show this week, and I've got Kevin Casey with me, who's the managing director, museum director, sorry, of the museum, diving museum at Stokes Bay. Right, just a quickie now. We've got a few minutes to go and before the news, so anything else you want to say?
That was very nice. You just gave me a pay rise there.
Yeah, museum managing director, yeah.
No, just really wanted to say, hopefully the future's bright. We're looking to raise more money and use the money we've got already to open the whole museum, extend the collection through the museum, and turn it into a great museum. This next 5 years will be an exciting time to actually be part of all our group there. So so much is going to happen, and I'm learning so much from it. You know, we're installing the start of next year an air source heat pump to heat a part of the museum, which is causing a lot of damp problems, equalize the rest of the building, the disabled access. We'll restore the whole building to give it a longevity of life. We will be able to give a much better visitor experience when they come in with engaging with the collection. So all this is going to happen in the next few years, the next 5 years. And so if anybody wanted to get involved with that, I think it's an exciting time.
Well, we'll go in that in a minute. Sorry, we're jumping the gun here. Anyway, Kevin's given you as much information as he can. If you've got anything you want to discuss with him later on, you can either email us at the radio station here at Gosport Radio Studio at iCloud.com, or you can leave a message on our phone, 0239 2601 600, or contact Kevin on all the information he's given you on the contact numbers that we've given you. But unfortunately, we're going to have to go, and I've lost my tune now, so we'll try that one again, shall we? No, I've lost it. Where's that got to? We'll be there. Well, we'll have to play another one. After this, we got the news in a few minutes, and I'm waiting for my engineer to come in, because I've got a little problem here and he's not playing ball. Right. Well, there we are. That's just about it. And all I have to say now is goodbye from Kevin, and it's goodbye from me.
And thank you very much for having me.
That's all right, Kevin. Thanks very much.